Hello there, daring gamers, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Days Podcast, the show that celebrates gaming's past through a modern viewfinder. I'm Mr. Picario, your humble host as we travel down these retro roads, and as listeners of last week's broadcast know, I'm taking a break from the usual gaming festivities to focus on what many would deem an unfortunate lapse in my anime education. That's right, although I was well ahead of the curve in the 1990s when it came to those bizarre cartoons from Japan. You know, those ones with the characters with the crazy colored hair and those gigantic eyes. I somehow missed out on the series many feel was key to the movement's early growth. And that, of course, is the now ubiquitous Dragon Ball Z and its related properties. Yeah, while I savored the Tenchi Muyo series or hunted down episodes of Evangelion or Escaflowne, there was another franchise powering up right before me. And when I finally did take notice of the bombastic if complicated enterprise that is Dragon Ball Z, I was so completely lost, I simply returned to my Rurouni Kenshin and Martian successor Nadesico. The 1990s. So I largely neglected Dragon Ball Z in its original heyday, catching only smatterings of episodes in which spiky-haired and green-skinned heroes both battled a spinning array of always badder, meaner foes. It was both intriguing and overwhelming, its saga spanning hundreds of episodes. But finally, in my final days of college, I managed to watch the entirety of the Buu saga storyline, right up to Z's somewhat listless final episode. In short, the series had at last won me over. Well, sorta. I actually took a break from the show until I joined the Air Force a few years later. It was now around 2008, and at last I had the money and the time to dive back into the legend, this time beholding its epic grandeur from the very beginning. I discussed this anime mea culpa of mine in the previous show, but suffice to say, if I wasn't a fan already, I was now, as these earliest episodes contained a raw tension and suspense that not even the Buu saga could match. And naturally, after watching Vegeta crawl into his pod and retreat back into space, with Krillin, Bulma, and Gohan themselves racing to planet Namek, it was only natural that I jump right back into that second orange brick DVD set and continue the adventure. Well, thing is, I didn't. I went on to military deployments instead. Only after my enlistment did I resume my Dragon Ball consumption. But if the sumptuous score playing in the background hasn't already given the plot away, this is when I did do the unthinkable. On a whim, I skipped right over the rest of Z and entered that shady domain of Dragon Ball GT. I know this does sound crazy, but remember, I was not completely unfamiliar with Z's overarching story. Although I had missed viewing the series in full, I had still witnessed bits and pieces of every arc, including Frieza's brutal defeat by Goku and Cell's annihilation at the hands of Gohan. Plus, I had just scored the entire GT collection for cheap at Walmart, a series I knew almost nothing about. All I did know, really, was that Goku somehow gets turned into a kid, and that, well, the entire series is regarded by many as the black sheep of the entire franchise. And that's being nice. So curiosity kinda got the best of me. It couldn't be that bad, could it? Either way, at a mere 64 episodes, it wouldn't take long to find out. So yeah, from the very beginning of the first episode, something did seem a bit off, or at least different from its Z counterpart. It's hard to explain what this was exactly, but it was almost like stumbling into a mirror world of your own. Everything seems the same, with seemingly the same people, places, even personalities, and yet the sticky feeling that something's amiss always lingers. GT felt the same way. Goku and his friends were all occupying their usual spaces, doing their usual things, I guess, and yet everything and everyone felt a tad out of alignment, recognizable but rough around their edges. This might be due, of course, to series creator Akira Toriyama playing absentee father for much of the proceedings, providing at best a cursory supervisory role, and at worst allowing animation studio Toei to run the show itself. Or perhaps it was because Goku's granddaughter Pan was the sudden focal point of the show, second to only Goku himself. Or maybe it was just how little screen time any other of the greater supporting cast got. Or how underpowered everyone else seemed, including Trunks, Goten, and even Vegeta, and how indifferent many of them were to even furthering their own training. Or perhaps it was the art style that, although effective enough, seemed neither to quite replicate nor improve on Z's best scenes. But truthfully, I think it was Goku, although as fun and likable as ever, didn't he seem just a little too childlike or carefree? For example, a running gag throughout the show sees Pan constantly aghast by Goku peeing right in front of her without apparently even knowing better, or standing openly naked in front of her after losing or discarding his clothes. She even redresses him once. Did Goku's return to childhood also mean a return to complete oblivious innocence? And wasn't this grandfather-to-granddaughter relationship, although sweet, also just a wee bit peculiar? And this is before we even get to the usual fan complaints. You know, the boring, at least according to some, initial set of episodes that sends Goku, Pan, and Trunks out exploring the galaxy for the so-called Black Star Dragon Balls. A vastly overpowered Goku who greatly exceeds his contemporaries, rendering them insignificant. And then there were those characters who just came and went, never to be seen again, and underdeveloped villains such as Omega Shenron, a potentially cool opponent in concept, but one who proved ultimately forgettable. Other villains were just outright wasted, especially where Android 17 is concerned. So, with all of these flaws and drawbacks, it looks like GT's detractors were right. This series was an outright exercise in agony, it would seem. Except, and this is my humble confession, taken as a whole, I left the series feeling sad that it was over. Indeed, I actually liked those more carefree early episodes in which Goku and company are cruising a seemingly endless universe full of endless possibilities. I enjoyed the battle with Baby, horrified that his parasites had infected the entire Earth. I appreciated Goku going to battle with the Dragon Ball's respective dragons, especially enjoying his banter and strange rapport with the four-star dragon's incarnation. And yes, I loved how Goku Super Saiyan 4 style takes out Ice Shenron. That was just pure badass. And I liked how the series solved Boo's ridiculous existence by having him merge with the stalwart Oob. Moreover, I began the series already weary of the hot-headed Pan, a clear Bulma derivative, only to finish the series realizing she had become one of my favorite characters. American voice actress Elise Bowman did a fantastic job bringing that character life and nuance. And yes, I'm a dedicated Super Saiyan 4 defender. I even enjoyed Goku's efforts in restoring his tail, a necessary process for the transformation to occur, appreciating the humorous take on what is usually a grueling and intense training process depicted in montage and whatnot. Certainly, I'd take Super Saiyan 4 over Super's more pedestrian Red and Blue any day. But most importantly, I liked Goku. People complain that he's overused in GT, crowding out the others. And while this is true, so what? This series ultimately became Dragon Ball's swan song, a 64-episode finale to one of fiction's most sweeping legends. And because the series began with Goku, nay, owes its very existence to Goku, isn't it only fitting to devote the final episodes to the man who started it all? If there was ever a moment to let Goku shine, wouldn't it be now? And shine he does with that heartfelt finale in which our hero says goodbye to his friends for the final time before cascading away on Shenron's back. Is Goku alive, dead, or somewhere in between? I believe the answer lies in the third possibility, like how the Virgin Mary of Christian tradition never died, but rather ascended into heaven still fully composed. I liken Goku's exit a similar ascension. Cryptic, wistful, happy, and sad, if nothing else, GT boasts an ending worthy of a peerless hero. Goku, may you live forever. And again, that amazing main theme. Does it really get any better than this?
Witness the ultimate battle between the greatest of the greatest.
Take the grand tour, grand tour. GT! Step into the grand tour.
Grand tour, grand tour.
Step into the grand tour.
Dragon Ball GT!
Step into the grand tour.
Grand tour, grand tour. Dragon Ball GT!
Step into the grand tour. A brand new adventure begins. Another challenge.
I had completely forgotten about that travesty of an opening. Let's try that one again, my apologies. And how about a live rendition at that?
Go!
titled Dandan Kokoro Hikaru Teku. It's one of the most moving and heartfelt anime themes ever conceived. So, count me as one of GT's devout and most stubborn defenders. It ain't a masterpiece, but taken as something uniquely its own without presumption and expectation getting in the way, it's a perfectly decent, even grand, tour through a quirky version of the same universe we all love so well. I wish it had lived longer, been given more time to refine itself and thrive, but what we got, well, is still worth a watch. It's not like Super isn't without its own erratic issues. Perhaps my own slow trek through the franchise has helped me view the matter with a more open-minded perspective. Nevertheless, no matter how you all might view the matter yourselves, next week I'm taking a break from my Dragon Ball musings to provide another great gamer's quiz. This is a retro gaming podcast after all, at least sometimes, so give it a try and see just how much of a true gamer you really are. But following that, I will return to expound further on this massive franchise, this time sharing my impressions of its recent second coming, Dragon Ball Super. After that, well, we'll see. Thanks for listening, everyone, and until next time, this is Mr. Picario signing off for now.